Time to get the local view on a variety of subjects. You can find his work in the sports section. Used to say the cover, but sometimes during football season, not so much. Check the Register Guard online, registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle AustinMeekRG. Did I say the Register? What the hell did I just say? Anyway, Austin Meek, how are you on this fine Tuesday?
I'm fine, Steve. I was just going to roll with it. I'm doing good.
I'm inventing new websites, and if people go to them, they're going to be like, Steve's lying. I was trying to think which way Austin would go in the World Series. Obviously, there's no connection between the Dodgers and Royals. KC beat the Astros in a great division series on the way to the title 2 years ago. You have a preference either way in this particular series?
You know, I have no real rooting interest in this series. I'm just hoping for a good series. I think it will be a good series. A couple teams that won 100 games in the regular season, we don't usually get to see that in the World Series, so I think it's a great matchup. I think these are probably the two best teams in baseball, certainly in their respective leagues. I guess I have a little bit of me that's rooting for the Astros, just a little bit, because of what the Royals did to them a couple years ago. I've been on the other side of that. They thought they had that series won. The governor of Texas was tweeting out congratulations to him, and then they just collapsed.
Right.
So I felt a little bit bad for him ever since, and was kind of rooting for him to come back and win one just because of that.
Yeah, you get to 04 and then 05 and then last year, and if Houston won, it would be, as baseball fans, something we never saw. But when you look at this playoff series as a whole, and you think of Aaron Judge, Sanchez, Lindor on Cleveland, Addison Russell, Bryant, Seager, Bellinger, Correa, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Those guys are all 25 and under, and just on playoff teams, we feel safe saying this is like a golden age of young talent playing in MLB.
Well, yeah, and the Astros especially, you look at their roster, they've got so many good young players with Altuve and Carlos Correa. They're a fun team to watch, and I think the future of baseball is in good hands, and we've seen that here in the playoffs.
I'm talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So last week you wrote a column about football participation problem, and one of my favorite people on earth, Bev Smith of Kids Sports, called and wanted to talk on air. So first, you caused me work. Stop that. second, and actually seriously, a question I've asked you over the years, what was the inspiration? What triggered you to write this timely, what I found to be a very interesting story?
Well, the whole genesis of it was Willamette having to forfeit a game, which, it's one thing if you're talking about that down at the lowest levels of football, but this is a 6A school that is forfeiting a football game because they don't have enough kids to play. That's pretty remarkable. Now, I'm curious because I didn't get to hear the interview. So what was Bev's take on
issue? Basically talking about, what they're doing, how they're addressing it, what she's learned around the country, and how for those who feel that, there's parents and guardians and grandparents saying no to football, that they, how late you start tackle football. So she more wanted to, I think, give it from the youth sport point of view, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So,
yeah. Well, and that's a big part of it, I think. I do think that's a big key to football being able to survive, is generating some interest for it and making sure that it's safe at the youth sports level. And that's what the high school coaches were saying, is that if you're trying to get kids interested in football when they're freshmen in high school, that's too late. If you really want kids to develop an appreciation for the game, then they do need to start playing when they're younger. But you've got to be really careful about how you do that. That doesn't mean that kids should be playing tackle football when they're in the third and fourth grade. I think the information that's available to us now would suggest that's not a good idea. But maybe they start playing flag football when they're pretty young, and they start playing tackle football if they want to when they're junior high age or so. And I think coaches really feel like that is the key to addressing this problem. but it's going to be a tough sell for some families because there is a lot of information out there now about the dangers of football that I think rightfully has people cautious about that.
Yeah, you talked with a couple of the local guys, and another issue to kind of tie this in, I'm a big stickler when it comes to neighborhoods. The transfer rule in high school drives me up a wall. I mean, I know where I was from, we all went to the same elementary school, then to Schuyler Colfax Junior High, Wayne Hills High. Now kids specialize based on where the school might be strong. So did you come across that young people are leaving schools, struggling to field football teams, and maybe why the participation numbers are where they are?
Well, that is part of it. And Kevin Leonard at South Eugene, who, by the way, said he was looking forward to talking some trash to you if the Dodgers played the Yankees in the World Series.
I figured that.
that was one thing he brought up. Is like when he was growing up, there was a really strong sense of neighborhood loyalty that where you grew up, you knew where you were going to go to high school, and that was your school, and you wanted to represent that school. And now it has become more fluid, where you do see kids transferring around within the city to whichever program, happens to be in a good position that year. Or maybe, there's a part of town where the culture isn't really there with football. It's not maybe as important in that part of town, so the kid wants to go somewhere else where football is a little bigger part of the community. And in a way, you can't really blame the kids for doing that because, look, if I'm a good high school player, who's maybe getting recruited to play at the next level, and I'm at a school where I don't even know if we're going to have enough kids to play on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to go somewhere where at least you're guaranteed to have enough kids to be able to play the game?
No, I don't blame the kids. I blame society. By the way, for the record, Kevin Leonard is from here. He's not only a Dodger fan and a Laker fan, but a Cowboy fan and a Husky fan. So he and I could just sit there and argue over pitchers of beer. Anyway, this publication, The Athletic, so there's a story in the New York Times, ironically, one of the bastions of the Fourth Estate, did a piece, and the founders who worked for some kind of social network for athletes basically said they want to bleed the newspaper business dry, take their best talent, and watch them die, which I thought was interesting sentiment for an article in a newspaper, but haven't we seen this kind of death knell for the industry before, or is this either different or dangerous?
Well, it's certainly, for me, working at a newspaper, that certainly got my attention.
Yeah.
As I put on Twitter, I'm not stockpiling canned goods or planning to go stand in the unemployment line anytime soon because of this new venture. It's an interesting discussion. Newspapers have been around a long time, and there have been a lot of things that have come along that have changed the way newspapers need to operate. Certainly the internet has changed things massively, and the newspaper industry still hasn't really figured that out. This new site, The Athletic, basically their premise is they've hired a bunch of really good writers. They've produced what looks to me to be very good content, and it's a subscription site, so people pay to read the content, and it's a good user experience. There's no ads or pop-ups or things like that. So hey, I hope they do well. I'm rooting for them. Any business now that can be sustainable by producing good journalism and paying good writers and getting people to pay for good journalism, that's what we all want. So I hope they succeed, but I don't see The Athletic being the end of the newspaper industry as we know it. I think you'll still have your local sports page to read, and if you want to shell out a couple bucks on the side to subscribe to that site, go for it. I think they do good work.
All right, and for the record, in case anybody's affiliated, Austin Meeks said nice things about your publication in the event you get a resume from Austin Meeks.
I just want us all to get along, Steve. I just want the media to be one big happy family.
And good luck with that. when last season ended, I guess eventually we got to get to college football, I made a case the ACC was the best conference because beyond beyond Alabama, the SEC, every other team lost at least four games. And I was thinking Big Ten, Pac-12 was the second or third best conference. But now this year, man, USC overrated. Washington lost the game where they scored once. Cougs get blown out at Cal. I don't know, has parity taken root? Is it now year to year? What do you make of the quality of this league so far this season?
Well, imagine that USC could have been overrated in preseason. Whoever could have imagined that
first
could happen? You know, I think the word you used, parity, is a pretty good word to describe what's happening now in the Pac-12. And unfortunately, parity is not your friend in the playoff era. You're better off from the playoff perspective having a couple really good teams at the top and a bunch of teams who aren't very good below that. I think the SEC is a great example of that right now. You know, you got Alabama and you got Georgia who's playing pretty well. Aside from that, there's not a whole lot going on in the SEC. But with the Pac-12, top to bottom, maybe take out Oregon State, there's 10 or 11 pretty solid teams in the Pac-12. And, you know, with the 9-game conference schedule and the fact that they don't play any non-conference games in October and November, you know, it's a challenging situation in the Pac-12 to try to come through that with the kind of resume you need to make the playoff, especially if your teams at the top are good but not great. And that's what I would say about these teams in the Pac-12. We thought USC had the ability to be great this year, but I think we've seen enough from them to say that they're not. Washington, sort of the same thing. We knew they'd have to replace some guys from last year. Thought if everything came together, maybe they could get back to that position. But Washington, too, looks like a team that's good but not great. And so, you know, I've been holding off on proclaiming the Pac-12's playoff hopes as dead. And, you know, I still think I said last week a one-loss Pac-12 champion is going to be in the conversation. But it's looking a little bleaker every week.
Sure is. Final couple thoughts for Austin Meek of the Register Guard. To Oregon football, another bleak offensive performance. Kind of amazing how losing one guy has led to this borderline unraveling, kind of like the second half of TCU with Vernon Adams out. So you think if this goes sideways and they lose out or maybe just win once, all the good feeling and positive steps we've seen with the new staff, if not erased, would take somewhat of a hit?
Well, that's the worry for me at this point, because there was a time this season when it really felt like Willie Taggart had a lot of positive momentum going. He was recruiting well, the team was playing well on the field, and he really felt like, wow, yeah, this guy's got this thing going in the right direction. And in a way, maybe it's unfair to say that the evaluation of Willie Taggart would change because he lost his quarterback and was in a pretty hopeless position. If you don't have a quarterback in the Pac-12, you're not going to win. And you know, there's nothing really Willie Taggart can do about that. But you know, momentum is kind of a fickle thing. It's tied very much to what we see week to week. And you put together, you know, three or four bad weeks in a row, then that has the effect of kind of putting your program on a bad trajectory. So it'd be really good, really, really good if Willie Taggart could get a win on Saturday against a Utah team that has its own problems. It hasn't been able to move the ball, hasn't been able to score. They get Utah at home. If Willie could steal one of these games they have to play without Justin Herbert, I think it changes the whole conversation. Now you're talking about, hey, back against the wall, they found a way to win. Justin Herbert's probably coming back. All they got to do is get one more to get to a bowl game. I tell you what, winning that game on Saturday, I think, could make a really big difference for Willie.
All right. You kind of answered the question I was going to ask, so I go back to my original question, and that was our last question for Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Good stuff as always, Austin. We appreciate you getting our Tuesday off and rolling. Enjoy, and that's right, it's a home game, so I will see you on Press Row Saturday.
All right, looking forward to it. Thanks, Steve.
All right, take it easy.